and welcome to the Global Slovakia podcast, where we explore Slovakia's past, present, and future. In this series, we look at the destinies of the brave Slovak men and women who dared or were forced to leave Slovakia in search of a better life abroad. Are you Slovak? Do you want to connect to your heritage? Follow us on Facebook or globalslovakia.com.
Hello, I'm David Grega. Today we are joined by Terezia Marlow to talk about her Slovak roots and share with us some moments from her fascinating story, A Newfound Purpose in Canada. Hello, Terezia. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, nice to be here.
Great. Can you just start out by giving us a little overview of your Slovak connection and your story?
Sure. I was born in the late 50s in Prešov, Eastern Slovakia, which at that time was under the communist rule, and it was Czechoslovakia. My family emigrated, mom, dad, and five children to Canada in 1968, just prior to the invasion, the Soviet invasion of our country. And we settled in Vancouver, British Columbia, where my grandparents lived.
So tell me a little bit more about some of the reasons that your family decided to emigrate back in 1968. There was a lot of things going on in Europe and in Slovakia at that time.
There was. One of the reasons we left was religious persecution. My family were very devout Catholics. My father had studied for the priesthood in the past. There wasn't freedom to practice our Catholic faith. My mother was a school teacher and could not attend church publicly. She had to go in private. So that was one of the main reasons we left. My father's parents were in Vancouver, British Columbia. My grandpa left in 1927 to search for work, and my father only met him once when he was an adult. So that was another reason. I think another important reason is that my parents not being in line with the communist ideology, there was no possibility of us five children going on to higher education beyond ninth grade, maybe trade school. But anything beyond that, you had to be a member of the Communist Party or be in line with their ideology. So they really wanted a future for their children, reconnect with grandparents, and have religious freedom.
It sounds like, in retrospect, the timing of your emigration was really key because a lot of things happened right after you left the country.
Correct. So we had a new leader that year, 1968 in January, President Alexander Dubček came into power, and he wanted to give socialism a human face. So he wanted people to have more freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to travel more. And since my father had been trying to emigrate from Slovakia for 20 plus years, it became easier to get the final documents that he needed for us to emigrate. So we left at the end of June, and it was exactly 2 months later that the invasion happened. So we were very blessed, very fortunate to leave. My grandfather was able to finance the trip, train, boat across the Atlantic, train across Canada, but we were able to make it to Vancouver, July of that year. And we were, like I say, very blessed because after August 21st, the borders closed up again. There was the invasion, the Prague Spring happened, or the Prague Spring was before that, but after the invasion, it was very difficult to leave. So many people that were able to leave after August left illegally. And fortunately, we left legally, so we were able to go back and visit later on.
That's very emotional, I'm sure, when you look back on the magnitude of the events of that day and of those times, the fact that you ended up emigrating and making a whole new life for yourself and starting in Vancouver, Canada. Your mother, now she was a school teacher. She had a hard time making that transition.
I think she was completely for emigrating. She knew it was necessary for the family. But what was hard for her is she came from a large family, a lot of support from her siblings, her parents. She was the oldest of nine, six that made it to adulthood. Three died very young in World War II. She had a wonderful career when she didn't get laid off work for being caught going to church, but she had a lot of friends in the school system and she was very outgoing. So she was involved in quite a lot of things. But she knew it was the best thing for the family. However, once we came to Canada, my grandparents that we'd never met had a difficult time dealing with 5 children in their home. They had a large home. My grandpa never raised my father. My father was only 9 months old when he left. So it was a difficult adjustment. And my mother, I think, fell into a depression. She didn't speak the language, had to go right to work doing menial jobs, housekeeping in the hospital. She was a care aide in a nursing home. It's quite different from being a school teacher of chemistry and biology. She taught like middle school, high school. So very educated. So it was very hard. And then there was tension between the in-laws. I think initially it was quite difficult for her to adjust.
I'm sure it was. One of the main reasons that the emigration happened was for religious freedom, as you said. And it sounds like, in a way, it ended up being religious freedom that your mother connected with in Vancouver that kind of got her involved in the community. There was a church, was it St. Methodius or St. Cyril?
St. Cyril Methodius.
Okay.
I think most churches in the West that are Slovak are St. Cyril Methodius.
Okay. So what kind of things did she get involved with? Do you remember?
I do. I was 9 and a half when we left. When we first came there, there's a suburb of Vancouver, New Westminster, and that had the Slovak church that was established in the 50s by the older settlers. And it was more older parishioners. There weren't very many children. As you say, the Catholic faith was a big part of my parents' lives, and my mother drew great strength from that. And this church, she could see in the community, she had a lot to offer, and started a Slovak school on Saturdays. I remember having to help her, and I wasn't thrilled about that, but she started a Slovak school for children. She got very involved in organizing picnics, parties, theater plays. I mean, that just was her. She was very gregarious, very outgoing. And I think that pulled her out of her depression. She spent a lot of time involved in church activities. And more often than not, the Jesuit priest was at our house for Sunday dinner. So she became quite a leader in that community. And I think she found a purpose there. And that really kept her going.
That's wonderful. You know, a lot of the Slovaks that emigrated also keep their traditions and their culture going through their food, their traditional recipes, everyday recipes, but also especially around holidays. Have you kind of kept your some of the Slovak recipes and traditions going that way?
Well, I think many people can attest to this. Our parents' generation didn't keep recipes. Everything was done by feel and taste and smell. My mother was so busy that she usually baked at night when the kids were asleep. She had 2 jobs. She was a wonderful cook and a wonderful baker, and my children can attest to that. So in the last several years after she's passed, I've had to search for the internet to learn to make kolač, you know, the walnut rolls, learn to make Easter bread, the braided bread. I'm getting better. It's not quite grandma's. I have tried, and my kids are pretty thrilled. I try to recreate the meals that we used to have at Christmas and at Easter. And I also listen to a lot of Slovak folk music, because a lot of it just brings me dear memories from being a child. And I can listen to it, find the music on Spotify. And when my husband's not home, I can sing along out loud and dance around the house. It just gives me such a warm feeling to. And it's usually happy music, Slovak folk music, especially Eastern Slovakia. You know, they like to party and they like to sing and they like to dance. And so it really is dear to me. I try to keep my pronunciation, which is difficult. I was 9 and a half. My English is much better than my Slovak, but I try to keep it up. And I do still write to my youngest uncle, who's closer to my age, in Slovak, which is not easy, but it's good for me to do.
You made a trip back, didn't you, to visit?
Several, most recently in August of 2019.
Okay. How did that go? What was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I brought my youngest son with me. He was 26 for a wedding of my youngest cousin, who was almost the same age as my son, because mom and her youngest brother were 23 years apart in age. So I have a cousin who lives in Bratislava, who's a lawyer, but she really wanted a traditional Slovak wedding. And it was in the village of Široke. It's near Vitez, where I grew up the first half of my years in Slovakia was in Vitez. It was wonderful. Just the whole traditions of the procession going from the bride's home to the church, to the social hall, to the music, the dancing, the food. You get fed every 2 hours when you go to a Slovak wedding. And my son, he was so pleased that he came along just to get to know family. I had taken him when he was 5 and my other son was 10, but he doesn't remember that. But they just enveloped us with love, and you know, they couldn't give us enough experiences. It was wonderful. I'm fortunate that I still have 2 aunts and 2 uncles, and I think 16 cousins back there. So yeah, it's nice when we all get together.
Yeah, I bet. And what a great opportunity to be there during the wedding. It sounds like a real beautiful tradition.
It is. I actually took my husband, who's Irish American, in 2007 to another cousin's wedding. He was just shaking his head. He said, I've never experienced anything like this.
Yeah.
They do. They know how to put on great parties in Eastern Slovakia, especially. They're happy people for the most part. Or they have difficult lives, I should say. Their lives are not easy. But when it's a celebration of any sort, whether it's a baptism, even funerals, weddings especially, there's nothing holding them back. So it's wonderful to experience.
Right. They stay in the moment and celebrate the day. Well, thank you so much. We're getting close to our time. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us about your story?
I'm not sure about my story, but I would encourage everyone of Slovak descent to really dig into your ancestry, because it's a beautiful country, not that well known on the tourist maps. But it's so worth going, even if you just visit Bratislava on the Danube. It's just, there's so much to offer in that country. And the history is complex. And these people have survived so many difficult, difficult years and centuries. And yet, you know, they come out strong under Hungarian rule for 1,000 years, and still their tradition, their language, their culture, their Catholic identity for the most part is just so strong, and it's carried on. I know many of the Eastern United States churches, unfortunately, we don't have anything where I live in Olympia, Washington. Vancouver has the one church that still has a lot of new, younger people attending. It's the only church in Western Canada, and it's still going strong. And it used to be the Jesuits, but now it's priests from Slovakia that come over for 2-year assignments. But I would just encourage people of Slovak descent, look into your heritage. It's absolutely fascinating.
Thank you. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story.
Thank you, David. It was a pleasure.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Global Slovakia podcast. Theme music was composed and performed by Zoe Solar. Audio editor is Dea Partak. Global Slovakia is a non-for-profit organization founded and directed by Dr. Zuzana Palovic and Dr. Gabriela Berega-Ziova with the mission of sharing Slovakia with the world. If you like what you've heard, please donate at globalslovakia.com to help us continue to make this podcast possible. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us next time for the Global Slovakia Podcast.